Hello, I am Jen Cole at Jen Cole ICT, co-founder of Depict Media and community manager for Social Media Examiner. And this is Making a Marketer.
And I'm Elizabeth Glau, product marketing manager at Scienceo, maker of Event Bots, AI chatbots. My handle on most social media is at Elizabeth Glau. And this is Making a Marketer.
Hello, hello. I am Megan Powers, founder of Powers of Marketing. And this is episode 15 of Making a Marketer. Okay, so I'm super pumped about our show today. We have two amazing guests. We're talking Pinterest, which as relevant as it's been, if not more so. And I'm excited to hear from two experts today all about that, because like my co-host and I, we've sort of lost sight of Pinterest, but want to bring it back into our lives. So it makes perfect sense that we have a show dedicated to Pinterest as we wind down we've decided that season one will end in June. So after 17 episodes, we'll end season one, and then we'll pick it back up again in August with season two, and hoping that our first episode, which will actually probably be a two-parter, will be reunion show. So like, I want to have everybody, as many people as can come on as possible, and like just do a round robin, like three guests at a time. And just, I've done that on another podcast as a Christmas show. And it's just a ton of fun. And so I think it'll be really neat if we can get as many people as possible onto that show to kick off season two in August after we have a little summer break. Okay. So before I get to who the guests are and telling you all about their awesomeness, I do want to mention our sponsor for the show. This episode is brought to you by my business, Powers of Marketing, a strategic marketing consultancy with the goal of helping our clients communicate more effectively with their customers and their prospects, which of course leads to better brand awareness and more sales in the end. And we're in the process of adding more clients to our roster. So reach on out if you need any help for your business. Okay, so the guests are, well, first of all, the manly Pinterest man himself, Jeff C. He is in Texas, Longview, right?
Yep.
All right.
Longview, Texas.
Excellent. Jeff's a visual marketing consultant specializing in Pinterest, Instagram, and video. He's the owner and creative director at His Design Inc., where he's worked to help clients market themselves in the best way possible using a variety of mediums for over 14 years. He is also head beard at Manly Pinterest Tips. If you see his picture, you'll get that. If you haven't seen him before, I'm sure there's probably nobody listening to this who doesn't know Jeff and his beard, where he's the creator and host of the Manly Pinterest Tips Show with top tips, comedy, storytelling, and just plain fun. Jeff teaches Pinterest techniques like no other. I can attest to his teaching skills, that's for sure. He's also on the social team at Social Media Examiner, whoop, whoop, and manages their Pinterest and Instagram, as well as he appears and produces most of their live video with other people from the team. See him on that all the time. So you can visit manlypinteresttips.com to see how Jeff explores visual marketing with character as big as his beard. Love that. All right, right on. So our next guest is Carrie Chase, and she is in Portland, Oregon. Not near, but nearer than any of us are to Elizabeth when we're co-hosts. She is a Pinterest marketing and Squarespace design. Those are her jam. She started in social media marketing in 2011 by managing 13 million fans across 17 social media accounts for a worldwide band. Well, I want to hear more about that. Since then, she's gone on to create hashtag campaigns for cities and their tourism boards, websites for entertainers and small businesses, online courses to help online entrepreneurs like you figure out this whole digital marketing puzzle for your business. When she's not geeking out on Pinterest and Squarespace, she's listening to music, reading in fuzzy slippers, or entertaining her kiddo at dance parties and doing funny faces on Snapchat. Welcome, Kara and Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay. So I like to say too, how I know people, just as a frame of reference. Well, Jeff is known just in social media worlds, but I took his class. That's the first time I ever encountered Jeff. I took a class at Social Media Marketing World a few years ago on Pinterest. And this year I attended his class, which was like all about the bazillion different tools you can use to create stellar images for all your socials. So I quite enjoyed that, as I always do. And then Kara was on a content chat, tweet chat. I often stumble on Twitter chats. Like someone I'm following is on it and I go, oh, what's this? And then I kind of get engaged and I'm late to the party and stuff. And anyway, that's how I found Kara recently. And it is really what brought to mind Pinterest is something that I think we should talk about and should definitely be part of this first season. So let's start out. I'm going to start with Jeff. So as it should be, your Pinterest is amazing, like ridiculously cool. All of your cover images are just really, really, really nice. Kara's are great too, but I was like super struck by Jeff's last night when I was preparing for this show. So looking at your social media tips page in particular, how do you keep the content on there fresh, especially with how quickly things are changing?
Well, yeah, first of all, yeah, well, you know, you're kind of doing a broad overview of Pinterest. Well, Pinterest is kind of the largest driver of social traffic there is. I mean, you know, Facebook is great, but, and Twitter, but the shelf life of that really drops off of really quickly. So I'm still getting traffic from, and I'm sure Kara's going to talk about this too, is the traffic is huge on Pinterest. I mean, I'm still getting traffic from the pins when I first started. Wow. So they're still going strong. And like for Social Media Examiner, which is the account I run for them, the Pinterest account, it's funny. It's the number two driver of the social traffic right behind Facebook, because we have like a 500,000 Facebook page. But Pinterest, instead of Twitter or LinkedIn or anything like that, is number two traffic driver. So for people who are listening, you know, don't discount Pinterest for you know, I don't know how to do it or it's too hard. I mean, it just drives so much traffic. And that's really why I got into it. But with that being said, the way I stay current on that is I usually go into Pinterest every day. And as much as everybody would love to stay on Pinterest, you can't be in it all the time. And so I use a tool called Tailwind, which lets me schedule pins. And so I have curated throughout just the amount of time I've been on Pinterest, people who I know and trust, who I can actually go and I know they pin good stuff. I know that their stuff isn't like going to spammy links or anything like that. And so like Paige Fitzpatrick, Elisa Meredith, some other people that were at speakers at Social Media Marketing World, I know and trust, and then I pin their stuff. And so I'm constantly going in there and finding new content and trying to put that up. So to answer your question on frequency, I guess.
Fabulous. What about you, Kara? How do you keep it fresh?
Very similar to Jeff. I also use Tailwind. I could not do what I do for myself or my clients without Tailwind. Very similar. Again, I have kind of my trusted list of people that have great content, which is even easier now with the new follower tab. But I have found Tailwind Tribes, which is part of Tailwind, to be another super easy way to batch my content and have a trusted group of people that I know they're pinning really good stuff.
Oh, right on. So that replaced groups, or are groups still around?
They're still around, but I think that the power pinners are really diving into tribes, because it's like a super exclusive, there's rules, you know, I mean, before there had rules, there's rules for, you know, groups, but people kind of ignored them. But these are really tight, and you know, these people are good. And it's a tool that actually, you know, you can see how many people are pinning your content, what content is fresh, what is new. And it's a genius move by Tailwind. It's almost like their version of Pinterest groups. And it really is a game changer, especially like Kara was saying, with, you know, the people you trust starting your own group. And then people want to be in these really exclusive groups of like a blogger, or, you know, if it's, you know, some other topic that is a niche topic, and they find that Tailwind tribe. I mean, it's really, really powerful.
The other thing that I've noticed with group boards is, I'm sure many people have had this experience where maybe you come across a pin that's like, here's the 10 best group boards if you're an entrepreneur. And because the content on Pinterest is evergreen, by the time you get to that blog, all those boards are shut down and not taking new contributors, or there's no good process in it. Talk about a time suck trying to figure out the good group boards, which ones are still active, and how to ask permission to be a collaborator. With Tailwind, there doesn't seem to be any of that mess, and it's just easier and it functions so much better.
That's fantastic. This show should be sponsored by Tailwind.
It should be. Okay. We should point out that, and correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like their URL is tailwindapp.com.
Yeah,
just so if people are searching for it, it's tailwindapp.com. And yes, we should get them as a sponsor.
They're great.
We'll give them some love when we put this out. Yeah. Fantastic.
But they also have great metrics too. Like Pinterest has great metrics that, just to be, I know Karen and I both, there's two different types of Pinterest. There's just like the normal Pinterest that everybody can be in. And then there's this business Pinterest, which is, you don't have to apply. You just click a button and it switches over. But that's how you get Pinterest analytics. And that's also how you can get promoted pins. They're like Facebook ads for Pinterest. It's their promoted product. But if you're doing any sort of blogging or anything for business, you need to have a business account on Pinterest, and they give you those analytics. But Tailwind takes it a step further and lets you have access to analytics because they're a trusted partner. And so you get some better insights to, like, I can go in and see what board is performing really well. And that way I know, okay, so my woodworking board is doing really well. I probably need to put more content over on that way. Or my, you know, my blogging board is doing well this month. Maybe I ought to put some more content in there because people seem to be really using it. And you can find that kind of drill down inside of Tailwind's analytics.
To bring that back to group boards, that's probably my favorite feature, Jeff, is the board insights, because it tells me which group boards are just not performing well. Right. And you can see how many times one of your pins on that group board has been repinned. And I actually went through yesterday and just left 5 or 6 group boards that were underperforming for me. So yeah, the insights that they provide are really great.
Nice. Well, and I think you kind of already answered this, but if in case it hasn't been said yet, my next question was just kind of, you know, what do you think is the number one benefit of using Pinterest? Let's put aside the traffic driver, right? Besides traffic, driving traffic to your main business.
I would say if you have the second biggest thing, if you have any sort of product, Pinterest is huge. Right. I mean, for a long time, Etsy people and Pinterest worked really well together. Spotify, I have my own little Spotify store just to test Pinterest stuff on. It integrates so well. I used to do e-commerce way back in the day, and the stuff you can do now with Spotify is just amazing. And Pinterest, how they tie in together. So I would say product. I don't know, but what do you think, Kara?
I would agree with that, especially if you're doing promoted pins. I have a Shopify client that does wedding favors. I mean, talk about a perfect match.
Right.
And she's seeing, we're doing a retargeting campaign for her, and she's seeing a 1200% ROI cash money. And that is one of the coolest things about being able, when you sell a product, to be able to correlate actual money with what you're investing in ads instead of the value of an email address or something right. like that.
And people need to realize that Pinterest, they're going to Pinterest to plan and dream and then to shop. I mean, if they pin it to a board, like they're dreaming of a wedding, or they're dreaming about, like, for like my niche would be like building a fire pit outside, and they don't maybe have the money right now, but they can go back and then buy those supplies later or buy that dress later. And so people don't have any problem with buying stuff from Pinterest. Also, people are going to, there's studies that people are opening up Pinterest and actually inside of stores going and seeing what to buy. And I mean, Target did a great job of they even have end caps with like Pinterest logo on it, where you can go and see what's popular on Pinterest. I mean, so brick and mortar, if you're in that area too, you need to think about Pinterest in that way as well.
Absolutely. I think for me, for my business, the biggest benefit outside of traffic is kind of that next step of traffic, which is building my email list. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, digital marketing and social media, the goal is to start building that relationship with your audience. And there has been no bigger return on investment for my email list than Pinterest.
Yeah. And I saw somebody, I went to your account and looked, and you have all those great opt-in pins that are great. You know, those work really well. I mean, I have a Manly Pinterest Tips tackle box that still gets tons of opt-ins every day from that. So that's another thing, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, trying to build and have an opt-in, or even, you know, you don't even have a really good website, but you have like lead pages or something where you can have an opt-in, Pinterest can still drive traffic to that and actually start collecting stuff. Like when you're first getting started, it's a great option.
So it's funny, I just had a little flashback to like early days of Pinterest when I would find a dress I wanted and then I'd go back to buy it and it would be sold out, because I think retailers weren't prepared for what Pinterest was going to do for them.
I have that same problems with the dress I buy now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But the cool thing about the pin, the shop, the buyable pins, not Bible, buyable pins, is that, you know, Pinterest doesn't take a cut. It goes straight in the shopping cart. Works for, like, if I place something in on the desktop or on my mobile and I don't feel comfortable, you know, checking out on my mobile device, I can do it on my desktop. The shopping carts work together, which is really cool. And Pinterest doesn't take a cut. So that's another thing. They're getting all their money from the money they make on promoted pins. So it's really cool for people who have products.
Yeah,
for sure. All right. Someone said recently that Pinterest is not social media. So we'll start with Kara. How would you describe it? Because I think everyone does lump it, right? Like they're like, oh yeah, I've got my Instagram and my Pinterest and my this and my that.
The easiest way to say it is it's a visual search engine. And I know a lot of the industry experts, I think Alisa is the one who said it's the introverts platform.
Yeah.
Right? Which is so true, because I can just go on there and do my thing, do it for my clients. And there's not this whole, I have to reshare and comment. And, you know, it's just, it doesn't have any of those elements in it. I think we might see that change a little bit in the future because of the followers tab and kind of the changes we're seeing with that, but it's very much a visual search engine. It's like Jeff said, people are aspiring, they're dreaming, they're, how do I do better? How do I be better? How do I learn how to do something? They're not looking to connect, they're looking to learn, and they're looking for information.
It's funny because like Pinterest founder said, it's not social media. I mean, they'll come out and say it's not social media, but then they add like little social things. Like they'll have this tried it thing, like for recipes. So they're like, they're pushing you to like take pictures of the stuff that you've tried. And like, well, that's kind of social, but so they kind of dip their toes into, you know, a little bit, but it's not a social platform. It's really easy for guys. I don't know why there's a big hang up for guys being on it. Cause it's like the stupid, we're visual anyway. And so I don't know why it was such a big hang up of it for such a long time, but think of it more like Google. Like when you're writing descriptions for your boards, when you're writing descriptions for your pins, you want to think about, you know, how that's going to, you know, keywords. You don't want to keyword stuff. It's the same kind of rules that you would do if you're writing, you know, a blog post and writing that little, you know, description or meta tag or whatever. You want to think of it as a visual network. In fact, Google really does like Pinterest a lot. I have a couple group boards. Like I have one with Paige Fitzpatrick called Instant Instagram Tips that ranks like first page of Google. Wow. And so your boards can actually rank. So you got to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah. I guess that makes total sense. I hadn't really thought about it that way. It's my niece had a big gender reveal thing and it was so cute. It was baseball theme. And so the caterer had like the envelope that had the thing in it. So they had like balls. One had pink powder in it. One had blue powder in it. And then they gave him whichever one it was. And then she pitched it to her husband and he hit it and pink stuff went. But it was just so cute. It was like Snack Shack and the whole, and I go, I kept saying, I'm like, I blame Pinterest.
Right.
All the ideas, obviously it's super fun, but it's just like something that all sorts of stuff like that, that's also grown out of. So people who are sharing content, not necessarily just products, right? A lot of finding people with blogs of interest and that kind of thing. So what would you say in terms of keeping your page up to date or whatever? Like, are you removing pins? Because I know a lot of times like links are busted. Like I'll go back and that thing that I had pinned isn't there anymore. So are you like cleaning up your...
Kara probably knows this too. There's a big debate on deleting pins or not. I mean, there was this whole thing in the Pinterest community. And then I always went no, because it's always, because there's nothing wrong with having one piece of content. Let's say you have a blog article and you have multiple pins pointing back to that. In fact, that's a great thing to do. You're not stuck with just one pin. Think of it as like a spider web leading back to your content. And so I don't want to delete any pins, especially to my own content. I'll leave them up there till the cows come home. But you know, there was this debate, well, if they're not your pins, you should delete them. Well, Lisa Meredith, who we talked about before, who works for Tailwind, had a Pinterest, the lady from Pinterest on, and she said not to delete pins. And so I just do what Pinterest says. So I'm saying not to delete pins. They may change that in the future, but for now they're saying not to. And so it's not worth the time for me to go back and delete all those, because I have got a gazillion pins on my board. So I don't mess with that.
I totally agree. And one of the things that they talked about in that training that they did that you referenced, Jeff, was that you never know when a pin is going to take off. And so, I mean, my viral pin that I have is from a blog from 2015 and it still gets traffic. I still get email opt-ins every day from it, but it's my old branding. And sometimes I look at it and I'm like, oh, what was I thinking? You know, whatever. But you just never know when a pin is going to take off. You never know what graphic design, like how the image looks, is going to resonate with Pinterest users. I actually create, for every piece of content I put out, I create a minimum of 3 pins that go back to that piece of content, because you just never know what people are going to hit on and want to repin. But that evergreen element is really what this whole debate, I think, centers around. So unless it's something like been, you know, the spam issue and it's been scraped and it's redirecting to some clickbait site or whatever, there's really no reason to spend your time deleting. Yeah, I agree.
So you guys have both, you know, kind of covered this a little bit. We got into this a little bit in the last question, but I have not been on Pinterest in a while, but somehow I ended up using it to plan a camping trip. I think that was like, randomly, I must have been directed, you know, from Google, right? I must have been like searching for something. And then it was like directed me to Pinterest. And then of course, once you're there, you're like, oh, look at all these other camping things I could get. So talk a little bit more about how you do optimize your posts for search. Like, how are you getting that traffic, you know, say from Google or other sources? Jeff, you can start.
Well, one of the things Kara mentioned is like something is, I for the longest time would go and say, because Pinterest said not to use hashtags, don't use hashtags. And so I would just beat that when people would ask that all the time. I'd say, no, because Pinterest said not to. Well, they changed it. And now you're supposed to use hashtags. So for optimizing on search, and we do this now for Social Media Examiner, I do it for my own pins, is I put usually, and I can't remember what the limit is, but I usually only put 3. But they're saying that hashtags do make a difference now. So one of the newest things I would say is make sure you're hashtagging and making sure you're using good hashtags on Pinterest, because it does make a difference. I would just think, once again, is like not to keyword stuff, but make your boards specific. Your boards are not going to rank on Google if you title them like stuff I like. That tells nothing to nobody. It doesn't matter. So you want to have something like, you know, wood carving tips by Jeff C or something like that. I mean, something that really is specific to your niche that's still kind of, I like to use branding if I'm doing it for a company. I still like to have their name in there, just because if somebody Googles that name, you know, that board may pop up there. So that's kind of the advice I make. So don't just title it for you and your mother. Think about what people would be searching for when you're doing your board titles.
I think that's the biggest difference. Sorry, just to interject, from when it started to now. Is like, right. For me, at least mentally, that it was originally just for like, oh, I'm going to curate all these things that I like.
Bookmarking. Yeah.
Bookmarking, yeah. But using it for business is just totally next level.
I can totally tell when I go in to do like a client account cleanup, and I can tell they haven't touched their Pinterest since like 2015, because their boards are still titled all the cutesy
stuff, right?
So yeah, keywords are really important. And I would say, as far as content, the pin description itself is probably single-handedly the most important in getting that pin surfaced and distributed and all of those things. And one of the things that Pinterest came out and said, which is a way I think they're trying to combat the spam, is that they actually check to see if what's in the pin description matches the landing page that it's going to. So the blog title or whatever it is. So keeping those little tidbits in mind as you're not only creating your blog, is this, you know, keyworded appropriately and has good SEO, but matching that with Pinterest and making sure it all works together.
And I also like it's best practice for your blog images. I don't just use it like image number 542. It's going to say blogging tips, you know, the top 5 blogging tips on the image. And then I pin that one to Pinterest. And so I think that just helps a little bit. I think it's just doing best practices. So you just kind of want to just don't stuff and try to be all spammy and, you know, doesn't make sense. Just use natural language. And like Kara said, is have those things match and don't try to spam things. I mean, especially when you start doing promoted pins, you've got to be careful of your language, because they don't like certain like free or, you know, some of these other kind of spammy keywords. They'll reject your pins and they'll tell you why. But so you want to think ahead a little bit maybe on those if you think maybe later you're going to promote those pins.
Absolutely. The other thing that I've run into is this concept of Pinterest is evergreen, and they won't actually let you promote a pin that has any sort of date in it usually. So if you're somebody that's doing a launch or a webinar or whatever it is, and you think you're going to throw a pin up and then put some ad dollars behind it, they're going to reject it. It's not going to work, because they want to make sure the content that's out there that is being distributed more is timely and relevant and evergreen. So
interesting. I didn't know that. So speaking of images, Jeff, I noticed also, you know, your other platforms like Twitter are very visual as well. And now it sounds like you have a whole class on this topic. But I wonder if you can give us, you know, some highlights, or, you know, obviously you're not taking advantage of just standard imaging, like importing tools, right? When you're linking to stuff. So is there another tip, like another tool you can share with us that you use to make sure all your graphics look good on every platform?
Yeah. And kind of back to the other question before is, think about, you're not just pinning your content all the time. Like if you look at my boards, it's hardly any of my stuff really. If you look at it, it's mostly other people's content. And one of the things is I'm always trying to share content that would help my audience. Like no matter how pretty a graphic is, if it's like flip phone from the 1980s, you know, statistics, who cares? It doesn't matter, even if it's pretty. So I always want to make sure I'm pinning stuff that is relevant to my audience. And I think that's what helps boost your account. To your point about visuals, just some general stuff, and this can go across any platform, is try to think of things that will stand out in the feed. So even if you're using, I don't think I'm a great photographer at all. I think I'm a good stock photographer. I'm really good at that. But it's how you pick those photos is never get, you know, I pay for the biggest image that I can, because that gives me options to crop and rotate and make it look different and put my text on different than everybody else. Because everybody's going to go hit those free stock photography sites. And you can look through the Pinterest feed and you can go, oh, that was made in Canva. That was made in Canva. That, you know, because they all look the same. They're just using the standard template. So try to mix those things up. So take, in Canva, you can actually open up two different windows and have two different kind of like designs and drag them and drop them and mix them up. And don't just use the standard one they give you, because that's what everybody else is doing. So try to make your stuff stand out in the feed as much as possible, no matter what network you're on.
Yeah, I would say that another important element is making sure everything you put out there is obviously you for branding, your fonts, your colors, your watermark. I think one of the best compliments I ever got was somebody telling me, I knew something was yours before I even read it, because it was just your design, whatever it is. I do love having a secret board that is like my inspiration swipe file board. So when I come across a pin that I'm like, ooh, that's really cool, I'll pin it to that secret board. So when I'm looking at creating a new graphic, I have lots of different inspiration I can draw on that I then make mine by my unique branding.
Right. And you can even do the same thing with style. Because if you look at my personal stuff, there's not really, other than my Manly Pinterest Tips logo that's like at the bottom, everything is mine is retro. Like it looks kind of fills in that retro theme, or it feels that way. And it's across my Instagram, it's across everything. And so I'm not really locked into certain fonts, but I am locked into a certain look. So you can do the same way. You know, another person to follow is like Rebecca Radice, who does a great job. And you can watch her stuff throughout. She's always testing things, but she's always sticking with her design style. So there's always going to be some orange in there somewhere, because she uses that all the time. And so, and a lot of times for a long time, she was using this like cartoon girl. She's got a pin that we checked the other day. It was like so many millions of pins, because, and it was one of hers that went viral. And so she uses that girl, but she's changed it over time. And then sometimes you'll see that she doesn't, you know, use the girl and it doesn't do as well, or the fonts change, but she always has orange in there and always is sticking on brand, and you always know it's hers.
Yeah, that's super smart. So it's kind of sticking with the theme of, you know, these visual mediums. Kara, we'll start with you. How do you compare or contrast Pinterest and Instagram? Do you think there are different audiences on each of those platforms? Talk a little bit about how you would, you know, consult with a client on whether, how and whether to use those two.
Absolutely. I wish our audience could see her face.
I kind of have a Jim Carrey face. I'm very like expressive. Yeah. So I'm not an Instagram expert. Jeff would be the expert on that. But I could tell you just from my experience, having done a lot of Instagram previously for clients, is there's a huge difference between a platform you're utilizing for brand awareness and affinity and giving people the look and feel of who you are as a brand, and I'm doing this to drive traffic. It's like apples and oranges. You know, way beyond just the simple, you use square images on Instagram, you know, and the vertical images on Pinterest. It is, people's mindset are very different when they're on Instagram versus Pinterest. It might both be on the couch with one eye while they're watching Netflix in the evening, right? But when it's Instagram, it's, they're looking for eye candy. They're looking for visual, like this is inspiring, or this is my friend, or this is, you know, maybe they're doing a little hashtag research. When they're on Pinterest, it's, I really need to build that fireplace this summer, or the fire pit in the backyard. And so they might be watching Netflix and they're casually browsing, but they're also, I'm going to save this for later. I'm going to save this for later because I want to come back to it. So it is a very different mindset for clients. And I think that both can apply. They just have to be really clear that those are very different strategies.
One of the things I did, did some Pinterest strategy for a big client, like it was kind of like a Macy's. It was a big fashion thing, which is funny for me. So I did a lot of research, and the funny thing that I found out is I found these catalogs, like it was like women's sweaters, and they were actually exactly the same on Instagram and Pinterest. But the thing that changed is on Pinterest, they cropped the face out. They just showed the because there has been studies done that people go to Pinterest and they want to see themselves in the outfit. They don't want to see a model on there like they would on Instagram. You know, Instagram is the selfie king. But Pinterest, you're going there to dream and be inspired, and they don't want to see anybody else's faces on that. So we took those same pictures they were using in their like online catalog, and we cropped their faces out, and they did really, really well. So there's a big difference on people's, like Kara was saying, you know, perceptions between the two platforms. You know, one's the selfie, you know, queen bee, and then the other one's more like products. I want to be in there. I want to have this sweater for myself. I want to see myself in it.
That's fascinating. Yeah, it sounds like Instagram is the social of the two.
Right.
And to tie back to Megan's question, you know, Pinterest is not the graphics, you know, sharing tool, but yeah, that's cool.
It's interesting, funny little anecdote story. So the band that I used to work for, I started their Instagram. And when I was talking to the leader of the band, he said, the only thing I know about Instagram is my daughter takes like 15 selfies a day and I'm not going to do that. So I had to explain the magic of user-generated content and all that kind of stuff. But it's a very different feel for sure.
Can you share the band?
Sure. I don't know how many people will know, but Megadeth, the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So I was in that Megadeth. Social. Well, I don't know. Sometimes people are like, what planet are you from? I'm like, don't let the lipstick fool you. I'm a metalhead.
That's amazing. And when I read your bio, I was like, did she mean to write brand? And I was like, no, she must.
Well,
she
is it a brand? Is it a band? It's actually the same thing. But yeah, so right, totally. That was my first job in social media. I went from being a free volunteer on their Facebook page to being the social media manager in about a year and a half. And it was trial by fire. It was a lot of fun. Dave Mustaine it's fun to work with. He's always very like, what's next? What's new? What's whatever? And I started their Instagram, grew their Facebook page from like 6 million likes to 8 million likes in a year and a half. And the coolest thing was getting to be the bridge between the fans and the band. That was just, it was incredible. So it was kind of like, well, I guess this is my career now. I know. So yeah. But Instagram was very new when they started it, and it is very different than it used to be, for sure.
So for me, Pinterest is a platform that I keep saying, as a marketer and as a person who's trying to teach other people how to market themselves on social platforms and, you know, for SEO purposes and all of that kind of stuff. But unfortunately, it's one of those things that because it's a little bit less social, I've been a little less dedicated to it. And I hear from Elisa Meredith, who works at Tailwind. I hear from Jeff all the time. He's a colleague of mine. How much this can propel your web traffic and how absolutely amazing it is. And yet still, I sit here and I'm like, I need to get to this. I need to get to this. But I'm still like, it's like kind of starting over on, you know, the first day I ever started on Twitter, I was like, what should my first tweet be? Like, what are the rules here? I need some etiquette. So my question, one of my first off questions is like, is there like a cadence that you need to have to pinning? Like, can you wait? Like, okay, so you should pin one, like on Instagram, you should probably wait, you know, before posting again on Instagram. Is there like a certain cadence that you need to follow for etiquette purposes or to not be spammy? Or can you just like sit down and put things out there in a big chunk? I think that would be a really important thing for people to understand.
I think people get scared because they hear like the experts say, you know, you need to start pinning at least 15 to 20 things a day.
Right.
And the people go, well, I don't have that much content. Well, it's not all your stuff. So that's the thing you got to remember. It's not all yours. You don't have to, but think what would be relevant to your audience. And then when you start putting together, you know, if you have content and you have a blog, well, just make it part of your, like, I make three different images when I make a blog post. I have my Instagram one, I have my one for my blog post, and then I have my Pinterest one. And then when you have time, you can go back, like what Kara said, and have like three different pieces of content that point back to that, because that'll just give you more traffic back to your site. Once you start seeing the power of Pinterest, you'll be like going, why didn't I start this from the beginning? You know? And so the thing is, it's not hard, or I wouldn't do it. I mean, it's just not that hard to do. And the cool thing now, it's kind of released this last couple of months, and people are starting to get it. I have it, and Social Media Examiner has it. There are these new dynamic cover photos for your profile page, and they look really cool and they're dynamic. And right now, Pinterest really isn't highlighting follower count. Like when you go to my profile, you don't see how many people follow me. You see how many monthly views I have, which is great for influencers, but it's also great for people who are just getting started, because if you're doing a good job, people will be coming to your page and looking at your content, and it doesn't have to be all yours. In fact, I have a higher monthly view count than a lot of my colleagues who have, you know, millions of followers. I have a higher monthly following just because I've been doing it and I'm consistent and people like my content. And so you're not limited to be like, oh, I got so many followers. You know, it's, It's people who want it and like your content.
Absolutely. I would agree. I think one of the words you hit on there, that is what I always come back to when I am talking to somebody about Pinterest. They're a first timer, right? They're a newbie. It's not about, okay, so-and-so says you have to pin 15 times a day. That most important thing for you is consistency. So don't put out 10 pins that are all your content and get burned out and whatever, and then drop it for 2 weeks. Pinterest, nobody likes that. No social media or digital marketing or search engine, anybody likes that, right? They want to know that you're present and consistent and providing good value. Not to keep plugging Tailwind, but again, I can do my job without them. That is how I stay consistent, is I have a schedule and I batch my content once a month for a month. I'm in there probably every other day, just seeing what's going on and client work and whatever. But as far as my content, I go in once a month and I batch for 30 days. It's usually around 300 to 350 pins. And it's a combination of both mine and repins that I think are valuable for my audience. So once you get the cadence, if you start with 2 pins a day, whatever, as long as you're doing it and you get a feel for it and you get more comfortable with it and you can start building that up over time, I think consistency is the number one most important thing.
Yeah, I started just pinning in the morning and then pinning in the evening, and that was it. I mean, I never had a set number. I just would do it and see what was interesting. Well, in Tailwind, and the thing with Tailwind, just keep your queue full, you know, just keep it... make sure you don't miss a day. And now they have a thing called a Smart Loop. Isn't that Smart Loop? I think it's what it's called. But it lets you repin. It's in beta right now. But so let's say I have something that's evergreen. It's really great. Well, I could tell it to pin, you know, every Tuesday at 4, and it just keeps doing that, which is great if you have evergreen content. Now you want to be careful, not be spammy and all that kind of stuff, right? But it's just keep it full and just keep the hop. And I don't just pin all my stuff in Tailwind. I mean, I schedule stuff from my colleagues. I mean, I don't just put only my stuff in that Tailwind queue. I put in, like, if Jen, if you had your blog post in there, or your podcast artwork, and I thought it was good fit for my audience, I'd put it in there. It's just so I don't have to be on Pinterest every day. I know that it's automatically, and Tailwind has a smart scheduler that gives you suggested times, kind of like Buffer does. And so it's just really almost set it and forget it. You don't want to do that because you want to make sure you go back in and check stuff, but it is super simple.
And I think the other important element of that is just coming up with a simple system for how you do your content. When I go into batch, I know, okay, I'm going to go to my Tailwind tribes first and fill up for my Tailwind tribes first. Mm-hmm. Then I might hit some group boards. Then I go to whatever is seasonally appropriate, if that applies. And then I make sure my content is fed throughout that goes back to my site. So I don't have to think about it. I don't overthink it. I don't make it harder than it needs to be. I just have a very simple, I do this, I do this, I do this. It takes me an hour, I'm done.
That's absolutely amazing. It sounds like it's very similar to pretty much any other social platform you're going to be on. Consistency is key. Watch what works, watch what doesn't work, and just get out there and do it. And the more that you do it, the better you get at it, basically. So that's what I'm taking from that. And I think that is really, really cool. It's also very encouraging as a, you know, not a first time user, but as a user that's really supposed to be diving in and teaching other people how to do this. It's, you know, it's encouraging. It's stuff that I already know, just applying it to another platform.
I think one of the biggest hangups people have is making that Pinterest image, because it is a different, it's a tall graphic, and it's hard to get your mind, you know, some people struggle just to get a blog image out. And it is kind of a mindset, oh, I need to have a square one for Instagram now, and now I have to have a tall one for Pinterest. But usually once you start setting it up, and you can even pay a designer to design these for you in Canva and have them do a template for you that you can swap stuff out with. I use a thing on my blog, and I highly recommend it. It's called Social Warfare, which allows, one of the things is to make sure that people are pinning, when they click on that Pinterest share button, it gets the right image. They don't have to make any sort of choice. And that's why I like Social Warfare, because you click on it, it goes to the Pinterest image, and it pins right to whatever board they want it to pin to. And the same way with anything else, like if it's a Facebook image or a Twitter image, you could set that up with this. It's a WordPress plugin, and it just works really well. But take the time to make that Pinterest image in your workflow, I think, is one of the biggest keys that kind of people have a hurdle with. But once you get that done, then you can see the traffic. A lot of bloggers that I know, their number one source of traffic comes from Pinterest. And it's amazing.
Wow.
So just quick logistics question. I know that long images work best, but it doesn't have to be a long image, right?
they do work better. I mean, squares images kind of sometimes work okay, but if you have to, and if you're going to create one, you know, and Pinterest just came out with a new ratio. If you go to business.pinterest.com, they'll tell you what it is. I can't remember. I still use Canvas dimensions just because it's easy. I've been doing it for so long, but I'll probably switch to what Pinterest recommends because it gives me a little bit more room to work with.
So always a moving target.
Sorry. They said it's 2-to-3 ratio. Right. And they recommend 600 by 900. The Canva one is actually a 2-to-3 ratio. So you're still totally fine if you're doing Canva. But that is something that has been a contention for a while. It's like, well, what exactly is the perfect thing to do? Yeah, 2-to-3 ratio is what they say.
Wow. So I'm taking from this that image size is actually very, very important then.
Well, because if you, like a lot of times we used to say that, you know, infographics do great on Pinterest and they still do. But if you have the super long ones, they truncate it. And so you don't see it all on the feed like you kind of used to. So they're saying this is the recommended size. And after so many sizes, it will be truncated to, you know, click here for more, which doesn't perform as well. So I would stick with their sizes and just start making templates. If you're graphically challenged, then hire a designer to create them for you. And then just, you know, have them do it at Canva because then you can just drop your fonts in and upload a new image for it. And, you know, because designers, they'll want to get paid every time, but you can talk them into doing a template for you.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love Canva. We use Canva at Depict Media for most of the projects that we work on and for most of the clients that we work on too. It's absolutely magical and very easy to use. One thing that we kind of touched on a little bit ago, but I kind of want to come back to is when it comes to, okay, because Pinterest is considered a search engine, basically not necessarily a social platform anymore. When it comes to the description of the pins and the boards, how important is it to really spend time on this? I'm guessing it's important, but when it comes back to being spammy, like what do you want to make sure that you do? What do you want to make sure that you definitely do not do when it comes to these optimizations?
I just want to point out, Jen said doo-doo.
I did say doo-doo. Sorry, not sorry.
My Beavis and Butthead was kind
of... I know.
Yeah, totally knew you were going to say that, Jeff.
I'm a 12-year-old boy, too. I was like, someone's got to say it.
Yeah. So my thing is they're very important. But the thing is, I would rather have you start pinning and creating boards and stuff than freaking out about your descriptions. Because you can go back and change those. You're not locked in. You can go in and edit those anytime. I would try to do the best you can when you start, but don't sit there and freak out. Oh my gosh, I've got to do all this SEO research. Da, da, da. Just don't name it, you know, animals I love, or you may just try to be a little bit more descriptive, or wine I like, Jen, for you. Don't just put wine I like, because I know that would be yours. But put like, you know, wine depict media enjoys or something like that. I mean, I would try to make it as specific as you possibly can.
That's one of my favorite things about Pinterest is you can go in and change your descriptions and your titles and whatever. I would say if you're going to pick one thing to kind of be a little fastidious about is those, when it pins from a website, making sure it's not like the random picture file name, because once you go down that rabbit hole and you pin 50 pins, going back to change all of that, nobody wants to do that. So if you're going to pick one thing to really pay attention to from the beginning, it would be making sure that you don't have that randomness in there that's going to start circulating around and you can never put that genie back in the bottle. Yeah.
Awesome. So strategy is still very, very important on Pinterest, apparently. Always got to be on the brand strategy.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's really, really fascinating. It's been a lot of fun to learn from you guys today about this.
Indeed. So I'll save that for last. I've got like an overarching question. I want, Jeff, tell us a little bit about your podcast and how it's, since we're on a podcast, how it's evolved over the years, right? Probably like how.
Yeah. So I started doing, what happened was, is I wrote a blog post called Manly Pinterest Tips #1. And it was about me having a secret board with my daughter and how we share stuff. Well, it took off. And then people said, hey, you need to, have a show. And so I got 4 other guys back on Google Hangouts back in the day when Google Plus was big. And we did this show. We got to interview people like Guy Kawasaki, one of the guys from executive producer for Pretty Woman and Under Siege, and all this stuff happened. And so I relaunched Manly Pinterest Tips as just me interviewing people, podcast guests. And I said, okay, it takes about a year for a beard, a good beard to grow. So I'm going to try it for a year. If not, I'll shave it off. So I launched Manly Pinterest Tips. And so it's been almost 4 years now, I think. And it led to my, you know, being able to speak at Social Media Examiner, being on Mike Stelzner's podcast. And there's something about a podcast, though. I mean, it's so, you're in somebody's head, you know, in their ear, and there's something intimate about that. So I love podcasting. I think it's one of the most underutilized things that people don't do. And mine have always been live shows that I strip the audio, just like what we're doing here now, and using it as a podcast. And so it works. I mean, not huge download numbers, but it got me my gigs. So I'm happy with it.
And how frequently are you?
Oh, I'm horrible right now. I've got so many in the can. I need to finish editing and publish. I'm behind, but people still talk to me, and I still get emails. And I've never done sponsorship. It's always like what you've been doing with just talking about my own product and consulting and whatnot. And it's what has helped me be where I am today, I guess.
That's fabulous. Yeah. I mean, we're still pretty new, this being episode 15, but
most people stop after 7. So you're already ahead of the game.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. And we're doing our mid-month show is live, shorter show. We do live and then we strip the audio. So Kara, what about you? Do you have any exciting projects? Are you like a regular guest on any podcasts or?
I'm not a regular guest. So I've had a really weird adult career life. It's been very unique. So before I was the social media manager for Megadeth, I was actually a special agent for the government in law enforcement. And after 10 years, I decided I did not want to work for the government for 30 years and left and had no idea what I was going to do. And that's kind of how I stumbled into doing all this stuff for David Band, because I was unemployed and was happy to volunteer cleaning up their Facebook page of all this spam and whatever. And when I first launched my business, I had a few things going on, but I was doing all the things. It was like, I didn't want to turn away any client. So I was doing social media and blogging and email marketing. My very first client was a project that was backed by the drummer for Iron Maiden. And he asked if I build websites. And I said, yes, I do. I had no idea how to build a website. So that was how I started getting into Squarespace and website design and all that kind of stuff. So I did that for a few years, and it really wasn't until last summer that I decided to niche down into Pinterest and Squarespace. And that was simply because I saw the return on investment for Pinterest like no other digital marketing that I was doing for clients. From the traffic to the email list building to all of that kind of stuff. So niching into Pinterest has been recent for me. So I have had to refocus everything. So right now I'm in the middle of making sure that that is all working properly and making sure I'm getting more known for that than all of the other general stuff I used to do. So.
Right on. Wait, so tell us about Squarespace. For those who don't know.
It's a website design platform. I would say it's somewhere in between WordPress and the really super simple ones like Wix or Weebly or whatever. They're beautiful. They're well designed. And if you're a DIYer, you can very feasibly do this yourself and not be intimidated by the maintaining it. One of the best things about it is it's an all-in-one solution. So you're not having to worry about SSL certificates or hosting or all of the different plugins or all of that. It's very, and it always works. There's not all these different elements that are breaking or updating or whatever. So fortunately, over the years, I've taught myself enough coding and whatever to be able to customize them for clients so they don't just look like a template. But it's a really great grande size, middle of the road solution for a lot of small business owners. So yeah.
Right on. Yeah, definitely check that out. Mm-hmm. Okay. So last question, regular question. And then I have my like ask every guest kind of a couple of questions that we do at the end. It looks like we have time. So this is a totally general question. We've kind of covered it already, but what would you say to people who don't think their business belongs on Pinterest, Jeff?
You know, I made that comment one time. I said, there's nothing, the only thing I wouldn't have on Pinterest would be like where you go when you die.
Cemetery?
But who does the cemetery? I can't think of their names. The
morticians.
Morticians couldn't have anything on Pinterest. And then I got all these things back into me on the podcast saying, well, you could have grief counseling. You could have opt-ins for this stuff and all this stuff. So I don't even say that anymore, because I think any business could probably benefit from Pinterest traffic, because you can figure out an opt-in for almost anything. And I've seen it on Pinterest. In my talk, and I think it was last year, Megan, that you went to, I talked about neti pots all over Pinterest, how to use a neti pot. I'm like, how in the world is that on Pinterest? Right. It's like waterboarding. It's illegal waterboarding. But it's all over Pinterest on how to make your own neti pot solution, blah, blah, blah.
Something Karen knows all about, apparently.
And, it's totally out there. So I'm thinking there's nothing that can't be on Pinterest anymore. So that's what I say now.
I would say... In general, I mean, this is kind of cheesy, but every business solves a problem, right? Every single business that's out there, whether it's info, whether it's content, whether it's a product, whatever it is, the goal is to solve a problem for somebody. And that's exactly what people on Pinterest are there to figure out. So, I mean, there's no simpler way to say it, in my opinion. And just right, you can create an opt-in for... That was when the Pinterest light bulb went off for me, when I had been blogging for about a year and I was in this like hustle content creation mode. And I realized at some point I should probably take a look at my analytics and see what was going on my website. And I realized it was this blog from 2015 that I had put a pin up and I had put $20 behind it, and it was getting so much traffic. And I realized, oh, this should be an opt-in. This should, like, wait a minute here. Okay. And when I made that change, I mean, my email list tripled in like 6 months. It was amazing. So whatever you're doing, you can figure out how to walk back your popular content and add another layer to it to build an audience.
Right on.
I'm sold. I'm giving up on Facebook, and I'm just going to replace it with Pinterest.
Pinterest bots. Are bots being used in Pinterest yet?
Not yet.
No, okay. Yeah. You know it's coming eventually. Right? It's
like, I don't know.
Well, you need a messaging platform for the chat
you can message in Pinterest, and people, but mostly it's spammy. I hardly ever look at it anymore.
Yeah. Not a great function. Gotcha.
Yeah. So now video is the thing that's coming, that I think you can do promoted video pins. And there's also a workaround that you can actually have your pins in there, and they really stand out in the feed if you have some video content. And I love doing that on Pinterest because it's so different.
Nice. That's a great tip. So this is I have one last super basic question. I got a new Shine computer, but I was still in my Chrome, you know, still cruising as I had been on my other computer. And then the client whose account I was tied to, apparently, because of Chrome, because of their app, is no longer in business. And it took a while, but suddenly a flip switched and all my bookmarks were gone. Like, everything was gone. So like, I no longer have my Pinterest pin button on extension. And like, so I thought when I went into Pinterest, it would pop up and say, do you want to, you know, have this? So how do I, that's a super basic question, but some people listening might not even know.
Just Google installing the Pinterest pin it button, and it should give you there. I think it's at business.pinterest.com. I think you can find it. There's tons of places on Pinterest you can find it to add the pin it button. That would probably be I use the Chrome plugin. I also, the cool thing about Tailwind, they have their own plugin. So like on Pinterest, I just open up my feed, and I've curated it the way I like it so much that I just click that button and it starts populating in Tailwind, and I can just start scheduling, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. But like, if I'm in a website and I want to pin something else without going into Pinterest, that's why I liked having that. Yeah.
Just go to Google the Chrome pin it button, and you should find the correct one to get that.
All right. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So, and I gave Kara got a heads up on this because she and I were emailing earlier today. I'd like to ask our guests if you have any new tools or apps or gadgets or anything that you're geeking out on that you would like to recommend to our listeners. I'll let Kara go first since she got the heads up.
Sure. So I'm pretty purposeful about trying to unplug wherever I can. So I don't have a lot of that stuff. But the one thing that I use more than anything else is there's an app and a website. It's called brain.fm. And it is white noise that works with your brain waves, depending on what you want to do, whether it's focus, meditate, sleep, take a nap, relaxed, like reading, whatever it is. And I don't know how it
works,
but it's magic. It's magic. When I sit down and I'm like, I've got 4 client Tailwind queues to fill up today, so, you know, whatever, I put on the focus loop and it's like, it's magic. I don't know how else to say it.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it works with your brainwaves and what you want to be doing, what you want to accomplish. And I use it. I can't sleep without it. I hope it never goes away because I might die.
We don't want that. That's for sure. Yeah. Jeff, what about you?
So I don't know if there's anything new. I have so many. There's so many things. But for task management, to stay on like Kara's kind of subject, I use Todoist, which is a great little task manager. And I like it the best because I've played with things for the Mac. I've played with a bunch of other ones. I like it because when I get emails, I can just click it and it adds it to my task. And then I can forget about it. And then I can go back and click on it again and it'll open up that email. And so especially because I have so many different things like with Social Media Examiner that I have to do every day, I can set up a daily task checklist that I like. Okay, like I honestly have, you know, check Pinterest is one of them. Check Instagram is another one. Check Instagram comments, check YouTube comments, and for SME. And so I can just go through there and go, dude, done it. Cause I'll be like, did I do that today? And I can go look and see that I've done that. And the ability to do the email thing is another great way. And it also goes between all my devices. So I can be on my phone, I can be on my laptop or my iMac. Another thing kind of in that same listing is Toggle. I love Toggle for client tracking. It's just so nice. And the same way, like half the time I'll have the timer going and I'll be like, I had to go to the store and like, crap, I left it running. And I could just open up my phone and shut it off. Because once again, it syncs across everything.
Right. Very cool. I love that. Okay. So we actually have another second. So real quick, if you could have a superpower in your job, you could anything having to do with your job, what would your superpower be? I'll share mine, let you think about it, and share mine, which everyone's heard. It's not changed. Mine is Wi-Fi everywhere, all the time, ubiquitous, like no issues. It's like the air we breathe. It's part of the earth.
She's gonna be called a hotspot girl.
I'm cool with that.
She'll just have Wi-Fi wherever she goes.
Put a chip behind my ear, whatever. I don't care. Just so long as Wi-Fi works all the time with no issues. Jeff, what do you think?
I think mine would be, and it's totally the opposite almost, would be like, I wish that I could turn it off and totally disengage. So like I started carving wood in the last 2 years. I make carvings and I do pins. Jen got a pin that I made at Social Media Examiner. So I do woodworking so I don't have to look at a screen. That's my thing. I wish I could go to, you know, go in the house and not think about anything else. I wish I could have a switch that I could just flip and be like, oh, I'll flip that on tomorrow morning at 8. But that would be my wished superpower, I guess.
That's a great one.
I don't know.
We've not heard before, so that's a...
That is. I don't know if this would be a superpower, but I really need mind-reading minions.
Yes.
That's what I need. I am a terrible delegator because I like things done the way I like them done. And I know it's something that I need to change in my business and the way that I work. So it's definitely like, I would like to flip that switch somehow, like the ability to delegate and have it be clear for sure.
Nice. All right. Okay. So we are now wrapping up. This has been such a wonderful hour. I'm going to re-listen to it a few times, I know, to get to pick back up on everything that all the little nuggets that you guys gave us. So, but we would like our listeners to know the best place to find you. So, Jeff, we'll start with you. What's the best way to get a hold of your
self? I'm Jeff C, and that's spelled S as in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C, all across the interwebs. And you can find me at manlypinteresttips.com, where we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time.
Nice. Kara?
I am at KaraChase.com and it's all C's and all A's. So KaraChace. And the benefit of having a unique name is that's all of my handles as well. So you can find me anywhere on the interwebs at KaraChase.
I just love the alliteration. It's fantastic. I used to think my name was unique, but it's totally not. There's like a million Megan Powerses, but I did get Megan Powers on Twitter. So I am.
Nice. Cool.
I got my name. It's the only thing. Of course, downside to that is now that I don't have my same name on everything. So what are you going to do? All right. So thank you guys so much. This has been so valuable. Thanks also, obviously, to my co-hosts, Jen and Elizabeth. You guys are the bomb diggity, as usual. So this has been episode 15 of Making a Marketer, and we will catch you next time.